The reading is taken from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello, Holy Trinity. How very lovely to be back here and see lots of faces that I love, and to see some new faces as well. And amazing to hear Smriti read. I go to loads of places. I don't know anyone else who reads like Smriti. It's so special. You have such a treasure here. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you that you are in this place. This is your church, and you love your church. You love your people, and you're always working, Lord. There's always something that you want to be doing in our lives, and we just want to have our hearts open to what you want to do in each of us this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Just turn our hearts and our attention to you, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Amen. With the Lord at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Maybe we could have our first picture, Will. Thank you. This is one of the additions in my life since I have moved. This is Gilby, who is very fond of his lamb. And he's looking quite affectionate at this moment. What he likes to do is take that lamb by the leg, by the neck, and really violently shake it. So I've really not let him anywhere near a real lamb. And I think in Psalm 16, David's actually not talking about a physical shaking, but an emotional shaking. The kind of shaking, let's take away Gilby because he's just too distracting, shaken by bad news or loss or threat. And David had faced huge personal losses. He'd faced the loss of those he loved. He'd faced murderous threats. And yet he makes this extraordinary claim. With the Lord at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. And I think we might have another slide. Thanks, Will. So how can we be like David, and when the winds are blowing, the storms are there, and life is shaking us, how can we be those who aren't shaken? And And you know, this is really important because we live in a time of shaking. I don't know if you had noticed that. I was thinking about this and realizing in my life, almost without realizing it, I have lived through multiple revolutions. Some are good, some not so good. Technological revolution. When I grew up, there were no smartphones. Imagine that. Just raise a hand if you can hardly imagine life without a smartphone. How did I ever get anywhere without Google Maps? How did I ever walk out the house without bringing 1,000 photos with me? I mean, you know, you'd have needed a lorry to take everything that we take on our smartphones, our cash, our banking. Then there's the social media onslaught, which is facing our kids and the younger generation in an absolutely unprecedented way and causing also with that a huge rise in anxiety. Globalization, that's basically happened in my lifetime. So if I turn on my TV screen, I see suffering in my face in a way that previous generations never did. We know in detail about the famines and the wars that are happening everywhere in the world, and that shakes us. We've seen an absolute collapse in trust in authority. Again, some of it's justified, but it is enough to shake us. There's been a cataclysmic crash in respect for government, for police, for educators, for religious figures, right across the board. We've lived through a sea change and are living through a sea change in attitudes to morality. We've seen a massive decline in faith in the UK, whilst faith is growing in so many parts of the world. Here, particularly the younger generation, there has been a massive dive in faith in Jesus. And that is impacting our society because generally there's no longer a belief in an absolute source of morality. So we see senior figures believing it's actually okay to lie. And I think there's a surprising number of people who would now agree with that. Feeling shaken? Some of the shake-ups been good. Our ideas about racism and sexism have been challenged. But it is still shaking for us. Core ideas about identity are being shaken in our society. The Christian view is that your core identity is as a child of God. But now for many people, identity is viewed as something that's self-determined. I just choose what my identity is. Shall I go on? I don't know if anybody can think of anything else that's shaken us in the last few years. A little microscopic virus has killed off millions of people and shaken our sense of core security. Politically, our world is shaking. We're watching as the world map of power is being redrawn with the rise of China and the breakup of the European Union, and now we have war in Europe. All that before we've even touched on climate change and the impact that that is going to have on the decades ahead. I think there's enough here to shake us. And that's before I've even got to the personal level. Maybe some of you have had things in the last years that have really shaken you personally. For our family, we had the death of Trevor, which also shook this church. Many of us have seen sickness and loss face us personally, and again, it's impacted the church here. We're in a time of shaking that is likely to continue. We're in the midst of an economic sense of great instability and a cost of living crisis. Are you glad you came to church this morning? But with the Lord at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Let's just read that whole verse together. I've set the Lord continually before me. With the Lord at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I'm going to just draw out three reasons why we don't need to be shaken. Firstly, the one at our right hand loves us. Just have a little look at your right hand. How close is that to you? The Lord is so near, so we can be secure. Do you know, this is the story of Scripture. This is our story, that the Lord wants to be so near to you. The Lord so wanted to be near to you that he came from the heights of heaven. He left glory and majesty and came to a cross to take away everything that would separate you from him. Every sin, every obstacle. He loves you so much. He so longs to be near you. He wants to be at your right hand. He doesn't want to be distant. And so we don't have to be shaken because unshakable love is beside us. Secondly, the one at our right hand wants to befriend us. Walking next to somebody kind of speaks of friendship. You know, sometimes I will ring a friend and say, will you come and have a walk with me? And this is so amazing, isn't it? That the Lord of heaven and earth wants to walk beside us because he wants to be our friends. He wants to walk with you to work. He wants to walk with you into your kitchen, and he wants to talk to you. And I was walking with a friend a couple of weeks ago along the river near where I am. I'm now in Molesey. I've settled into a house there. And just maybe quick digression, I am so grateful for all the love and support that has come from this church that has helped bring me to the place I am. For those of you who don't know me, I was married to Trevor, who was vicar here, who died of a heart attack very suddenly 5 years ago, and that meant that we had to move away. But I am now, for a little while I was in a house in Kingston, but we're now really wonderfully settled in a house in Molesey. I'm quite close to the river where I go walking. And the three boys, my three sons, Johnny, Connor, and Ben, who many of you know, are all now in work of different sorts. My big news is they're all getting married. So Connor got married in December, Ben is getting married in August, and Johnny is getting married in October. So that is a serious number of wedding outfits, I have to tell you. And don't think that that is a light thing, because getting a wedding outfit is, from your mother of the groom, I've discovered, is a really big deal. Especially when your oldest son, your middle son, when I finally found a wedding outfit that I thought, this will do, went and showed him, he said, you look a little bit like Cruella de Vil. So it's a tough gig, I can tell you. But apart from the strains of that, I am very grateful for where I am, and I'm wandering around doing stuff with the Trust, speaking at different places, leading church weekends, sometimes lecturing at St. Melitus. So back to where I was. I kind of meant to do that bit at the beginning, but it's there as a digression. Last week I was wandering along the river with a good friend, and she said to me, how are you? And it was that kind of, do you know, sometimes people go, how are you? And you go, I'm fine. But it was a, how are you? How are you really? In a kind of, I really want to know how you are kind of way. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to walk beside us and really find out how you are. So I wanted to ask you, when was the last time you went for a walk with Jesus and really told him what's going on in your life, poured out your hearts to him? Because he really loves it when you do that. He wants to speak to you every day. Jesus said to his disciples, I don't call you servants, I call you friends, because a master doesn't confide in his servants, but he does confide in his friends. So Jesus so wants you to tell him what's actually really going on with him, with you, and then he wants to pour out his heart to you. And there's so many ways he does that. I'd love you to just have a think. How did the Lord last speak to you? Where do you hear him speak to you? For me, sometimes it's walking along the river. So often it's as I spend some time with the Lord in a morning. And one of the great inheritances I got from my dad is to read a psalm a day. And almost every day I read a psalm. And a great inheritance I got from my mum is to let the Lord speak that psalm to me. So to actually hear the Lord say to me, Kate, I want to be at your right hand. You will not be shaken. And so maybe that's something you can do this week, is to actually allow the Lord to speak scripture straight to you, because it's all for you. Could you hear him speak these words to you? Are you going to live life with me at your right hand? You will not be shaken. We're offered a deep emotional security because our loving friend is near. And in Psalm 37, it says, though I stumble, I will not fall because you're at my right hand. And we will sometimes stumble, but the Lord's right there at our right hand to just catch us. Finally, the one at our right hand is the Lord. David was unshakable because the Lord was beside him. I don't know, can we have our next picture, William? I don't know whether in the Jubilee weekend you spotted any of the royal bodyguards who were sort of sometimes more, sometimes less subtly surrounding the royal family. Now, I found it really strange that they didn't ask me to be a bodyguard. Why do you think that was? Might it just possibly have been because I wouldn't have made them feel very secure? Well, we have at our right hand the maker of lightning and thunder, the maker of the universe, the one who raises the dead, walks beside us. So David says in our psalm, Lord, you make my inheritance secure. You know, stuff here shifts and turns to dust really quickly. It's actually very true if you have a puppy. In the Bible, it talks about stuff getting eaten by moths. In our family, it gets chewed by my puppy. And, you know, here are just Exhibit A, Exhibit B. I've got a fair number of, there's the hose pipe, there's the raspberries, there's plant pots, because stuff here doesn't last, whether you've got a puppy or not. But the Lord makes our inheritance secure. And I felt when I was just preparing this that there are a few people here who aren't quite sure that your eternity is secure. But you know, Jesus went to the cross to forgive your sins, and he wants you to know forgiveness today that secures you forever. He wants you to know that nothing can separate you from his love. And I know one of us would just so love to pray for you if that's something that isn't quite sure in your heart. Do we have a part to play in all of this? Yes. The Lord makes our inheritance secure, but we have to make him our Lord. Not just for a moment, not just for a little bit, but in everything. Because David says he continually set the Lord before him. The Lord before us means us following him rather than us dragging the Lord behind us like some sort of minor accessory. How do I set the Lord before me? Well, have a little think. What helps you? Anybody, what helps you set the Lord before you? Reading his word? Praying? Yeah. Worship? Worship really helps me. Stillness? Yeah, absolutely. Coming to church, gathering together like this. I want to invite us to seek to be those who continually set and turn our hearts to Jesus. Maybe it's an arrow prayer before that work meeting or a tricky email. Because the oldest Christian creed is this: Jesus is Lord, and he cannot be our Saviour without being our Lord. Just got a little clip that some of you may have seen, but I enjoyed it so much after the Jubilee weekend. And hopefully we can get it up if our... Wonderful. Let's go for it, Will.
On these picnic sites, you meet nobody. But there was two hikers coming towards us.
The Queen was... Actually, Will, let me just give a quick introduction. So this is one of the Queen's bodyguards, and he is describing a moment by Balmoral where he and the Queen bumped into a couple of American tourists. Let's go.
On these picnic sites, you meet nobody. But there was two hikers coming towards us, and the Queen would always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. And it was clear from the moment that we first stopped, they hadn't recognised the Queen, which is fine. And the American gentleman was telling the Queen where he came from, where they were going to next, and where they'd been to in Britain. And I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, "And where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just the other side of the hills." And he said, "Well, how often have you been coming up here?" "Oh," she said, "I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. And you could see the clogs thinking. He said, "Well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen." And as quick as a flash, says, "Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly." So the guy said to me, "Well, you've met the Queen, what's she like?" And because I was with her a long time and I knew I could pull a leg, I said, "Oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour." Anyway, the next thing I knew, this guy comes around, puts his arm around my shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera, gives it to the Queen, and says, "Can you take a picture of the two of us?" Anyway, we swapped places, and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on, and we waved goodbye. And then Her Majesty said to me, "I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows us photographs to the friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am."
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Now, they didn't realise they had the Queen right next to them. Do we know that we have the King of Kings, the Lord of the universe, right beside us, right at our right hand? And what a security that is, because nothing is too hard for him. No relationship issue you're facing, no work issue, no world issue. And in the, I guess it's now a good 30 years of ministry that I've done, I have seen God change and turn around so many lives. Quite a few of them here. I can remember James telling the story here of that day he was on a motorway and he drunk maybe just a bit more than he should have, and he ended up on the fast lane. This is all right, isn't it? And he prayed, and the next thing to come was a tow truck that took him to the side, and he gave his life to Jesus. I remember Penny's life being turned right round. I've seen life after life turned around by Jesus. I recently met a couple right back from the start of our ministry, and he'd had such a gambling habit. He'd lost his home, and his marriage was on the rocks. Very quick version. Two of them gave their lives to Jesus, and they're in such a good place, business going well, but they cannot stop telling Jesus. Even now, 30 years later, they're helping run Alpha courses.
the one of all, the Lord of all who loves me is at my right hand. The Lord of all who loves you so dearly wants you to walk through life with him at your right hand. We can be utterly secure in this life because the Lord takes us by the right hand and wants us to walk with us all our days to the next life. He's going to lead us there. And there are moments in this life that are tough. There's been some really tough ones for me. There are moments that can feel lonely. But what a joy that the Lord comes to be with us at our right hand. If I head out to a party now, I can go, oh, I'm not actually on my own. Jesus is coming with me. So the psalm ends with this amazing promise that he will lead us through this life to the next, filling us with joy in his presence. Shall we stand as we pray together? If you're able, don't. If you prefer to sit, that's absolutely fine. I felt as I was praying about this that I just had a memory of sort of how Ben and Verity, of course, just holding hands all the time at the moment because they're engaged. And then sometimes married couples, that holding hands business stops a bit. And then sometimes you see an elderly couple walking along hand in hand. And there's something very beautiful about it. And I felt perhaps there are a few people here and you can kind of remember when you used to walk hand in hand with the Lord. And he is inviting you to come and walk hand in hand with him in this season of your life. And it may take just a little degree of change, but it's a degree that will change the trajectory of the decades to come. So, Lord Jesus, we welcome you, and you might want to put out your hands if that's a helpful thing for you to say, that you're just open to the Lord, but right now you're opening your heart to God. Jesus, you are so present here, coming to win our hearts again. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, don't wait. Don't wait. And just in the quiet, why don't you, I'm going to leave a moment of quiet for you to ask God to walk at your right hand for the rest of your days. And the touch of the Lord that made the leper clean makes you clean and holy. Lord Jesus, we are so, so honored, so unbelievably grateful that you would want to walk through life with us. And we thank you that when you are at our right hand, we shall not be shaken. Amen.